Good evening, everybody. It's Sunday night in the land of 10,000 lakes. Welcome to Bob Outdoors. This is Mark Luki. Usually Stru brings us into the show, but we are Struless tonight. He's not feeling well, so he's staying home. We are Samless tonight. Sam is up in Leech Lake, Minnesota with his family annual trip, so we wouldn't want to disrupt that, but I'm in studio with our good friend, Bill Katz. How are you doing, Bill?
Hey, Mark. Doing good.
Welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen. What have you been up to, Bill? What's going on?
Well, you know, it's getting that time of the season. We got ice fishing just right around the corner, 8 to 9 weeks away. We're going to hopefully have good solid ice. Right now, I've been just working on lots of covers. Lots of my stores are coming in. They're wanting their early season products to get them out to everybody because with everything that's going on, it hasn't slowed down the sales of fish houses at all.
That's good. Weather's starting to turn. Like, it was like, you know, 75 on Saturday and then flipped a switch and it was rainy and cold. Sam's going to talk about that later, how it's been nasty. It's going to get colder and colder and colder, but that means a lot of things in the state of Minnesota. Duck season starts. You're a duck hunter, aren't you, Bill?
Yeah, it's been a little while, you know, since I got into this business. It's kind of, you know, I got to keep my business going, but I'd like to get out in the duck blind.
Bow season starting, so that's big for a lot of people. I know Sam's going to get out there. And we're also going to have a special guest tonight, Lacey Lupien of Lancaster, Minnesota. She shot a beautiful elk. Did you read that article?
Oh, my God. That thing was incredible.
The odds of pulling a tag and to shoot an elk like that in Minnesota are very, very small. So I can't wait to talk to Lacey, hear her story, how she did it. It sounds like she knows what she's doing. She's been scouting for a long time, and she's a pro. So I can't wait to talk to her, learn more about elk hunting in Minnesota. You don't think of elk hunting in Minnesota.
You don't. It's a very small herd. You don't think of it at all. I myself went out, it was about 4 years ago, I did a lottery hunt out in Colorado, and I got picked for the lottery. We went out, did not see one elk. I could have shot bear, I could have shot deer, I could have shot moose. The muleys were running all over the place, but not one elk.
Can you get a tag for more than one thing, or you just drew an elk tag?
I just actually drew a cow tag, so I could if I saw a bull, I couldn't shoot the bull. It was just a cow tag. But we were black powder hunting. It's before the the rifle season.
Was it on public land or?
It was public land up in the mountains. Yeah.
Wow, how did you even hear about that opportunity?
A very good friend of mine. He's been going out there for about 10 years, and I kind of knew where the area was because my sister and brother both lived out in Winter Park, Colorado. Mm-hmm. So it's just north of, actually, it's just west of that area. So I kind of knew the general vicinity. And when he was telling me about this, he just asked me, hey, do you want to try elk hunting? And all of a sudden, this big light bulb just, yep, let's do it. It was a lot of fun. We were out there for 10 days. We had a blast.
Man, I have a lot of friends that have made that trip. I think that's on my bucket list. You know, I don't really, there's a lot of hunts that I don't seem that interested in, but an elk one especially. So I want to learn more about elk hunting in Minnesota, even though the chances aren't very high.
Well, there's definitely a lot to prepare for, that's for sure. You know, and what they say is, with the elk hunting license, that's a once in a lifetime in Minnesota, along with moose hunting also.
That's a lot of pressure.
I don't know if
I can handle that much pressure. Well, for those of you that don't know, Bill is the owner of BK Outdoors. He's been a great friend of ours for a long time. He runs a successful business with Katz Covers, and he's got kind of an inside loop on a lot of things going on in the ice fishing industry because he's part of that industry. So he's got some updates on some sports shows coming up. We're all kind of anxious to hear what ice shows are going to happen because obviously COVID, everything has been canceled to this point. It seems to kind of depend on the location for a lot of these shows. So, Bill, why don't you talk about maybe a few upcoming shows and maybe give a, you know, if you've been there before, what they're like and where they are and stuff like that.
Sure. Matter of fact, 3 weeks ago, my wife and I went to a show out in Winsted where they hold the Winsted, the Country Fest.
Yeah.
We went to a show out there. It's called the Land Castle Extravaganza.
Okay.
It was fantastic because it was all outdoors. It's kind of a show to where you bring your fish house, you open it up, you get the heater working, you get the stoves working, get everything, all your bells and whistles working. Plus, they've got a giant vendor spot, I want to say there was approximately 20, 25 vendors there this year.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. They, of course, they had to limit how many people they could do this year.
Right.
But he filled out there. Brandon does just a fantastic job out there. He's got the new show coming up next year, which is...
So is it specifically for hard house owners or general public? Or
general public can come out. They do have general public tickets, but it's basically for all the hard house owners, yeah.
Yeah.
All the different manufacturers. We usually get some of the bigger manufacturers come out there. They bring demos out for people to walk through and check them out,
right.
You know. And, you know, along with these hard house shacks, you can basically design your whole interior how you want it.
Right.
They'll go along with it pretty well.
Cool. What else you got? So you that was two,
that
two
was,
weeks ago?
Yeah, that was 3 weeks ago. And that's going to – he's got tickets on sale for next year, September 9th. Through the 11th for the 2021 show. They have live bands going on.
Wow.
Fridays and Saturday nights, and it's a lot of fun just to bring the family out.
Yep.
You can do your camping, have your little bonfires right by your shacks. We had a great time, met a lot of great people out there.
Sounds like a party.
It was pretty much a two-dayer, a two-dayer, not on the ice.
Right, right.
And it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We've got this coming Saturday is the first annual sportsman show up at Hunters Point.
Okay.
That's just got involved with that this year.
Where's Hunters Point?
Hunters Point is right on Mille Lacs, on the east side of Mille Lacs. Nitty's Hunters Point Resort.
Yep.
This is his first annual show. We've got a bunch of vendors that are, you know, ice fishing. Not only ice fishing, but just fishing vendors. I believe they do some type of crafts there. But Scott, sounds like he's going to put on a heck of a show. You can get on the Hunters Point website, and all the details are on there. That's this coming Saturday, October 3rd.
So at the resort, it's going to be just a bunch of vendors.
Yep.
Cool.
All in the parking lots from 10 to 3 on Saturday.
Are you becoming friends with all the vendors? Is it like the same rowdy
crew
that goes there?
It really is, because once a show gets announced, all of a sudden, boom, your phone goes crazy. Hey, are you going?
Right.
Hey, did you hear about this? And oh God, he's going to be there. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, you meet a lot of the same people throughout the year.
Do you have some other vendors you just can't stand?
There
you don't have to name names.
No, there might be a couple, but you know, it's one of them deals where you got to get along.
Right.
You know, everybody's got to get
along. You're all there to make money.
You're all there to
make
a buck and just get along. You know, you walk by them, wave your hand, say hi. Other than that, you know, you don't have to deal with them.
There you go.
And that's how it works.
All right, what else we got coming up?
We've got the Blaine Hardwater Show. This would have been my 8th or 9th time at the show. I just got an email. They canceled this year.
Oh, no. Breaking news on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Dang, they were a sponsor last year, too.
That is an indoor show, so obviously reasons why there. That was kind of interesting.
You think they could move that to the giant parking lot they got there?
You would think they
were.
Or
the one of how many soccer fields?
Yeah. Well, they've got, you know, maybe they didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea.
Actually, the lot's pretty crowded. I know there because I spend
waking
second at hockey at that sports
the
arena.
Super
and,
rink.
Yeah. There's always a packed parking lot. So I don't, maybe just logistically it wouldn't work. But in the future, hopefully this is gone soon, but that's a bar. I love that show. I've gone to that show forever because I live in Lino Lakes, which is close to there. We've broadcast live from there for years.
Right.
I like it almost better than the St. Paul Ice Show as far as, you know, talking to vendors, looking at products. I'm speaking not from a vendor. The St. Paul Ice Show obviously makes a lot of money for a lot of people.
It's the king daddy there.
It's the king daddy. But if you want to go and look at new stuff and touch and feel and talk to people, I always like the Blaine Show.
I think at the Blaine Show, you know, it's a smaller venue, obviously, but you get a more one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, you can talk to the pros one-on-one,
right,
where the pros will give you a couple of minutes. I got to talk to this guy, you know, go like
right.
that. Yeah, the Blaine Show is really a good show. And then I've got, we got a couple of outstates. I got the Fargo Ice Fishing Show, that's at the Shields Arena. That's coming up December 11th to the 13th. And then there is one in Sioux Falls, the Dakota Ice Angler Institute. That is November 13th through the 15th.
So those are later.
Yeah. Well,
so you said the one in Fargo is December 11th?
Yeah, and that's always normally right after the St. Paul show. So
yeah.
Vendors are basically packing their stuff and heading to Fargo, you know, to go to that show. But and I haven't heard, so far, the St. Paul, the Fargo, and the Sioux Falls shows are all a go.
You really think they're going to do the St. Paul show? I don't mean to put you on the
spot here. It's going to be tough because you look, they get 10 to 20,000 people through that show. And the only thing that I could see probably happening is if they extended it another day, brought it into maybe Thursday, and then they'd have to allocate certain tickets for certain hours maybe for the show. Yeah. But, you know, to go through that St. Paul show, that's almost a two-dayer.
Yeah.
You know, that's a tough one to go through and see everything.
Well, obviously, I hope they do it because it's important for vendors. It's important for the sport in general. What have you seen so far in going to the other? There has to be an incredible amount of excitement for ice fishing this year.
My stores alone that are selling my products, they're ordering more and more every year. And this year, like I said, it hasn't slowed down a bit. I talked to a couple of the manufacturers. They just keep making them and making them. And it's just incredible.
Well, I'm in the outdoors industry, obviously, with Ron Scher Productions, and hearing the excitement, people are getting outside, they're trying new things. With sports canceled, some are coming back, but the outdoors industry in general is just seeing a huge boost, and I hope that continues when things normalize too, because we've kind of swung so much the other direction, and maybe some of these people are teaching their kids new things or coming back to it.
Right.
But I really hope that this is a positive thing. So you're kind of intricately tied with the Hard House.
Yeah, the wheelhouses.
The wheelhouses, the boom. Why don't we talk a little bit about that? Because that fascinates me. Because 10, 15 years ago, you rarely saw a wheelhouse.
They were very rare. I mean, the wheelhouse industry probably started, I'm going to say, the late 90s. And early 2000s,
right?
You know, you had a couple of manufacturers. King's Crow was one of them. Ice Castle came out in early 2000s. Then there was the Lodges. They came out in the 2000s. And
so King's Crow was the first one?
I think it was one of the first ones. And they were just a plain, you know, something on a trailer with wheels.
Yeah, and they cranked down.
They had just the cable crankdowns.
Right.
And
are they still manufacturing?
I haven't heard. 10 years ago, when I first got started, I talked to the owner. And he wasn't doing too well, and I haven't heard if they were still building them.
I haven't
or not.
Seen any of them.
No,
so.
No. And like I said, they were just a plain little shack. I had three bunks in mine. I had a 2002, and I had three bunks in mine, just with a little two burner stove and a heater, and you know,
that's all I needed.
It's all I needed at the time. I thought I was living high on the hog back then.
I'll tell you, you know, I remember building permanents in the garage with my friend Eric, and we'd haul those around, and we'd put them out on a local lake because that's all we could get out. But I remember pulling those things. They'd get stuck in the ice after sitting out for a while, and I can't believe that revolution didn't happen sooner. But it happened. So you saying around the 2000s started picking up?
I'm going to say, about 2000, it really started ramping up.
And obviously Ice Castle really started to take, I mean, they've grown exponentially.
Oh, they're pretty much the leader in that industry. But, you know, they've come a long way. There's, I want to say there's probably 10 to 15 different manufacturers.
Right.
You know, they come and go.
Yeah.
And
what do you have now?
I've got a it's called a Team Lodge Extreme.
I've seen them at the sports shows. Do you like it?
Oh, everything I love it. It. Yeah. Mine's a 2019, and I've had nothing but good luck with it. And, you know, I got the drop-down door. That's what I took out to Colorado with me. It's got the drop-down door, so I could put my side-by-side right in there.
Right.
Brought that right out to Colorado with me and pulled it right down I-80 doing 80.
Well, the big thing is, and some of the manufacturers say this, is you can't ice fish in a camper, but you can camp in a wheelhouse. So why, you know,
and that's where the big turn was.
Yeah.
Once they started making these year-round campers,
yep.
People were just like, well, why do I need a big camper? Why
You're
don't
right.
I just get a fish house and I can, you know, because they've got hot and cold running water in them now. They've got showers in them now. Everything to accommodate them. You know, and that was one of the big ones why I could get my big one. My wife had to talk to her about it, and she said, as long as it's got a bathroom, because I've got all girls.
Yeah.
Worked out perfect, so I got to get the new big shack.
It's incredible to see some of these. Obviously, they're getting more and more expensive as you get more and more into it, but
right.
Man, I love just walking. I don't think I'm in the position to buy one anytime soon, and I hope my wife isn't listening, but I would love to have one, but it's just incredible what they offer now. I mean, it's full luxury.
Oh, you can get anywhere from just the plain Janers to the Cadillacs, and they're just a lot of amenities, a lot of accessories, a lot of, you know, nice flashy things.
We like flashy things.
We like flashy things.
Well, we're going to be talking with Lacey Lupien after the break here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Sam in the third break, and we're also going to get more into Cat's Covers in the third break, talk about Bill's innovation and how it really serves ice fishermen and women, and a little bit in the backstory on how to develop a business and how he got to that point. So we're really excited for that. Stay tuned with us for Lacey Lupien, who shot a monster elk in Minnesota, next on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Checking in with the Four Outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
Hey, Strewman here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod. Bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsmen like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud, or shop online at mckaysdodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
Mark here, host of the Four Outdoorsmen, for my friends at Power Lodge. Located right down the street from our studio on Highway 10 in Ramsey, adventure is calling. Hit the open road on a brand new Can-Am Spyder or Ryker. These machines are tons of fun. For a limited time, get a rebate of up to $1,000, plus financing from 2.99 for 60 months on select 2020 Can-Am on-road models at Power Lodge in Ramsey. Visit Power Lodge on Highway 10, call 763-576-1706, or shop 24/7 at powerlodge.com.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life. Did you know Fishing for Life had 26 boats donated last year? Those boats are often given to veterans or refurbished and used in our own programming, or sometimes we sell them after fixing them up to help offset our programming costs. What a wonderful privilege that is. If you're thinking about winterizing or storing your boat this year, consider donating to Fishing for Life. Because we're a nonprofit, you get a full tax-deductible receipt. Donate today at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Hey, Bob Country, September is Hunger Action Month, and you can help. You can join your favorite Minnesota sports teams for Home Teams versus Hunger now through Wednesday, September 30th. You can bid on amazing sports items, unique team experiences, autographed merchandise, and more, and know that all the proceeds will benefit Second Harvest Heartland and Minnesota's six Feeding America food banks. You can feed a family of four with a donation of just $25. You can find the full list of items and where to bid online at mybobcountry.com.
Are you a survivor of sexual abuse while in the Boy Scouts? You may be entitled to compensation, no matter how long ago the abuse happened, but your time to file a claim is limited. Call 800-953-3314. That's 800-953-3314 for more information. As a result of thousands of victims filing sexual abuse claims, the Boy Scouts have filed for bankruptcy protection, and the bankruptcy court has set November 16, 2020, as the deadline for abuse survivors to file a claim. If you are a survivor of sexual abuse while in the Boy Scouts, you may be entitled to compensation, no matter how long ago the abuse happened. Call for more information with one of our compassionate counselors today. Your call is completely anonymous. Remember, the bankruptcy court has set November 16, 2020 as the deadline for abuse survivors to file a claim. Call 800-953-3314. That's 800-953-3314 today. Sponsored by Mark J. Byrne & Partners, LLC. Total Country Bob FM.
And we're back on the Four Outdoorsmen. Welcome, everybody. Right now, we have a special guest, Lacey Lupien. Lacey, are you on the line?
I am.
Well, I'm here. Mark Lukey and Bill Katz is with me. We're going to be interviewing you tonight. And first off, I want to say congratulations. And what is it like being famous now?
Maybe not what I signed up for, but...
I opened up the Outdoor News and you're on the front page, so... In the outdoors world, you are now the queen.
Well, not so bad, I guess. It could be worse.
Well, again, it's a beautiful elk, and I'm not a big elk hunter. We interview a lot of people that take the out west trips. You know, they do the big mountain hunts and everything. So you never really think about elk in Minnesota. So when did you start getting interested in elk hunting? You are from Lancaster. Can you explain to our listeners kind of what area that is?
We're about 8 miles from the Canadian border.
8 miles. So is that...
So we are way up north.
You're way up. Is it strange having a closed border living that close to Canada?
A little bit.
Do you ever run up there just for whatever, or is that like totally shut down for you?
It's totally shut down. Yep, you can't go across now.
Oh.
Not with all the COVID stuff, so... Yeah. The world is kind of at a standstill.
Hey, Lacey, this is Bill. See, I read your husband is a Border Patrol?
Customs, yep, he's an officer.
Customs, oh, wow. So is he in Minnesota area?
He works about a half hour from home.
Okay, oh, all right, that's good. Yeah, I just read that earlier.
So he's working today, so he's not here.
No problem. So why don't you tell us kind of the backstory on how you got into hunting? Were you into whitetail hunting before this? And what got you and your family interested in elk hunting? Because I hear that it's a family affair.
It is. We've always hunted. I hunted with my dad as a kid, and then I ended up marrying somebody that's an avid hunter, and it just kind of stuck. And ever since they started doing the elk seasons around here, we've always put in. And we're not landowners, so we didn't draw a landowner tag. And finally, come July, when it came in the mail, yeah, it's a family affair. The kids come with us every year whitetail hunting. My husband was out west in Montana. So we do it a lot.
So do you remember, I remember when it came out, but how many years ago did they start doing elk tags?
I don't know. Somebody else asked me that. 10 to 15 is my guess. I'm not exactly sure. I think it's been quite a while.
So you've put in every year and
every year.
I mean, the odds.
You pay your $5 for the lottery.
The odds are crazy, right? Like, it's how many people get pulled?
This year was more than normal. This year was 42 people that got drawn, and there's 6 seasons.
Wow.
Where it was about half of that usually.
So. Lacey, I got to ask you one question. So this was obviously it was the lottery hunt. Once in a lifetime, was there any buck fever?
Well, there would have been had we seen anything the first day. We saw a little spike, and obviously I knew that wasn't what I wanted since we'd been watching him for weeks. And yeah, it was once we saw him leave that first morning, or that night before the first morning, and he headed west, my heart just sank. I thought, got to be kidding me. And we couldn't see him all that morning in the opening morning, and couldn't find him, sat someplace else in the evening, nothing. It was just a sickening feeling.
Wow.
And then, you know, there's so many more hunters around. You know, I'm not the only one. So.
Sure, sure. So Lacey, what did this elk dress out at?
We don't know. We didn't weigh him. But the guy at the locker plant and the DNR guy had a lot to States. This is probably the biggest elk they'd ever seen, and for sure guessed over 900 pounds.
Wow.
Well, let's back up a little bit and go pre-hunt. So you drew this tag, you knew the area, you scouted. Do you see a herd there regularly, or how did you know where to go? And you've obviously seen this one before, as you mentioned. Can you walk us through that kind of planning process?
Yeah, well, we're local. Yep. So local here is a lot of flatland.
Right.
So you kind of get to know where they kind of are. And yep. Every night since we drew, we drive to the family. Whether or not Lance is working, me and the kids would make a quick lap around just looking for him. And then it just happened to be a couple weeks before my opening day. He was out in this field that I had permission to hunt on, and we watched him, and it was a thing. Every night the kids would take a bath, they'd get snacks, and we'd just drive around for a couple hours and watch.
Get their jammies on and drive around.
Yep.
That's really cool. So you mentioned open area. So is it open? I see the picture here. It looks pretty heavily wooded. Are you hunting in a wooded area, or is there some open areas?
There's open areas. It's just the woods that he ran into after we shot him.
Oh, nice. And was this the biggest bull out of the bunch, or the only one?
This was the biggest one. Yep. He actually came out by himself that afternoon at about 2:15.
Okay.
All by himself. And he'd been hanging around with a herd of about 20 or 30, and he just kind of popped out himself. I was posting on Facebook, and I happened to look up, and I said to Lance, I said, "Oh my God, there's an elk." And he goes, "Shoot it." And I like panicked. I couldn't get the scope cover off. We had every intention of sitting there for 8 hours. And there he came, and we were an hour and a half in.
Wow. And that's the second day. So first day you saw nothing?
We just saw a couple spikes in a cow here and there. Nothing. No buck fever that day.
So how long would the elk season be for you? You filled yours the second day, but how long would it be?
My season was the 5th through the 13th.
Okay. So that's not terribly long, really.
And that's that's one of how do they work that? They've got three seasons, early, a middle, and a late?
Kind of, yep. Yep, they started one the end of August, and they did that one, and then like a week later was mine.
Okay.
And then they'll skip a season in between deer hunting here in November.
Wow. So did you feel an incredible amount of pressure because the odds of you getting one is so rare? Were you just like,
yeah.
Were you like nervous almost?
I was. And then I shot it and I said to Lance, "Did I hit it?" And he goes, "I don't know." And I'm like, "Oh my God, what do you mean you don't know?"
How far did you have to trail it?
I shot him at about 250 yards and he maybe ran 50 yards total.
Very nice.
We found him not too far in the woods, but of course then the work came of good thing we have lots of people that come to check all this out. So chainsaws to saw down trees, a tractor.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. Well, I didn't have to do it. All the men had to do that part.
Well, good. You can take the glory. I'm sure you do plenty of work yourself. So it says in the article 300 caliber. Was it a 30-06 or something like that?
No, it was a 300 Winchester short mag.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
That's enough for a big, for a big elk. That's perfect.
So tell us a little bit about the aftermath. So this giant elk is down. What happens after that? How do you go from that to being on the cover of Outdoor News?
Well, we walked to go find it, first of all, and had to track him just a little bit. And then we didn't call and tell anybody. The first thing we did, we came back. My mom and dad were watching the kids. Came back to get them, for them to be one of the first ones to hear and see it. So they were pumped, and then after that, the crowds just kind of came.
Word got out.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I don't know, the picture got put on Facebook, and everything escalated from there.
And then you're getting calls from weird guys named Stru trying to get you on radio interviews. He's really bummed he couldn't be here, but he says hello. And thank you so much. It's just a wonderful story, and congratulations to you. It must be such a thrill for you and your kids and everything. How many kids do you have?
I have two. I have a boy and a girl, Lincoln and Leah.
Oh, how old are they?
They are 8 and 6.
Future hunters.
There you go.
They are total outdoor sports kids. I mean, Lincoln's out shooting birds on a regular basis. They're basketball fanatics. He's a huge Adam Thielen, Carson Wentz fan. I mean, hunting's in our blood, outdoor stuff. They love it.
Fantastic.
I have some questions for you. So I have my son's turning 8 coming up, and my other son's turning 5. How do you get them into, like, I get the scouting and stuff, and I take them fishing all the time, and they do pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
What are your tricks for getting them out hunting in a field or scouting along with you?
We just kind of make it a family thing. They don't really question it when it's, let's go for a drive, and they're more than willing to go, and they watch. They've got their own little binoculars, and they always come whitetail hunting with us. Maybe not right away in the morning if we get up early, but always in the evening sit. One will sit with me, one will sit with Lance. And they just kind of sit there, and they do their thing. And Lincoln was, oh my gosh, I don't know, 3 the first time I shot a whitetail. Not the first time I shot a whitetail, but the first time he was with, I think he was about 3.
So, Lacey, do you have plans for some type of a mount?
Yep, we're going to have it mounted by a guy in Greenbush that does it. And we're going to do a head mount. Some remodeling is going to have to take place because it won't fit in the house.
Yeah, what are you going to, I mean, that takes up a whole wall. How wide is this 46.5-inch inside spread?
Yep.
Yep. Wow.
Did you have it scored at all?
He hasn't been scored yet. We're going to wait for that 60-day dry time.
Right. Okay.
And then people will, I guess, are wanting to score it for me. And I said, well, absolutely.
Sure, you have plenty of volunteers for that. It's a beautiful elk. Well, congratulations. It's so great to hear from you. And thank you for calling into our show. It's just wonderful to see that you did that. And hopefully it gets people more interested in elk in Minnesota. I know it's not a big thing yet, but are you going to keep doing your tag? Are you going to keep applying and keep at it?
It's just a once-in-a-lifetime, so now it's up to Lance.
Okay.
I am a one-and-done, and that's
it. Or when the kids get old enough.
Yeah. When the kids get old enough, yes.
Perfect.
Awesome. Well, thank you. We're going to let you go, Lacey. I really appreciate it, but you have a wonderful evening, and congratulations on that beautiful, beautiful
thank elk. You guys so much.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, incredible story.
Wow. You know, I was reading another story, Mark. There was a shed rack from a caribou that, or not caribou, an elk that was found, and it scored 4th in the world, and it came from northern Minnesota.
Wow.
A shed rack. Somebody found this.
That's a big shed find.
That's a big shed find.
Those don't hide.
No. So just looking at the picture of this, I could see how big they are up there. It's amazing to know that they're in northern Minnesota.
I know. I would love to see one sometime. It's so cool. I would love to get maybe a biologist. We might have had one at one time, but get someone from the DNR to see how that population is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it'll ever be big enough where they can have like a massive hunt of it. But
I know. I don't think so. I mean, that's basically the same thing as moose. It's the once in a lifetime license.
Yeah.
And obviously you get lottery. Well, you get it. You get your once in a lifetime
moose
shot.
Moose is once in a lifetime too?
Moose is once in a lifetime also. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that. You got to make that one count.
You do. That's why I asked her if there was any buck fever. You know, when I should have said, was there any bull fever?
Yeah. Not
buck
no
fever.
Kidding. I have a couple shout outs here. Thank you everyone for writing in the shout outs. If you want to get on the 4 Outdoorsman, just comment on the shout out page and we'll read it on air like we're going to do right now. So I'm going to go through a few of these. My good friend Eric Heagle got out duck hunting. Looks like he got some geese there. Congratulations, Eric. I would have gone with you for sure if I was in town, but I was golfing for the weekend. Jesse Koskinimi says beautiful morning on the river shooting ducks and geese. Our good friend Corey Bechtold says, full report to come on the What's Working Now Facebook page. Has a beautiful picture of a walleye there. Zachary Biagini has some pictures of some ducks. And Jacob Lehman says, gorgeous day to be in the woods. Thank you, everyone, for writing in. That's great.
Good shot, Zach. I saw those earlier. Zach's a buddy of mine. He works with me, my regular job.
I have another one here. Justin Zeiss says, driving through Renaissance Festival, eating a pork chop while driving.
I got I got 2 shout-outs. I got to say congratulations to my brother who got married yesterday, him and Melissa, his beautiful bride. And then last night I went to another wedding, had a cousin of mine. That'd be Alex and Emily Carpenter. Congratulations, you guys. Had a great time.
Awesome. Well, we're going to take a break here coming up pretty soon, and we're going to come back with Sam Oftedal, and we're going to talk more with Bill Katz from BK Outdoors about Katz covers.
Hey, Strew Man here for Devil's Lake Tourism. It's not a secret that Devil's Lake is known for fantastic fishing, but now is the time for you to double up with your annual Cast and Blast. Devil's Lake is also known for some of the best bird hunting in this country, so hey, you can shoot a few pheasants in the morning and maybe catch a few walleyes in the afternoon. That, my friends, is just about the perfect day. Hey, bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your family. For more information, simply go to devilslakend.com. Hey, and thanks.
Tis the season of camping, boating, and fishing, and you don't want to be left out because your trailer's broken. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove can fix it and get you back to the outdoors. Crystal Welding offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all of your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. Your jobs are small because we do it all.
Looking for a great way to escape with the family? There's plenty of time this year to get out on the water. Mark here with the Four Outdoorsmen. Power Lodge has pontoons in stock for every boating passion, now with immediate delivery. Now's the time to benefit with huge discounts on Ranger, Low, and Godfrey pontoons. Low APR financing makes now the best time to buy. Power Lodge is right down the street from our studio on Highway 10 in Ramsey, Minnesota. Go visit my friends at Power Lodge. Call 763-576-1706 or shop 24/7 at powerlodge.com.
Jeff Jones here from your No Repeat Workday, and I fell in love with MyPillows the first night that I slept on a MyPillow. And I've been using them for over 5 years at this point. But I'll tell you what, honestly, it wasn't until I got myself a MyPillow mattress topper that I truly found out how incredible MyPillow really is. So we got our first MyPillow mattress topper while my wife was pregnant, and this was the deciding factor in her actually getting a good night's sleep. They've got a layer of MyPillow foam for support, plus a transitional foam to help relieve pressure points, plus ultra-soft patented temperature regulating cover. Plus, it comes with a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable, and it's made in the USA, backed by the 60-day money-back guarantee. So I'm going to do your back a huge favor. Right now, 30% off when you use the promo code BOB or call 800-606-7812. Plus, Mike Lindell is going to give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. Again, use that promo code BOB at MyPillow.com or call 800-606-7812. It's that easy to get your best night's sleep.
Save big on a trip for two with airfare and hotel to Riverside Resort and Casino in Laughlin, Nevada. Just $2.99. Trips and dates are limited. Book now.
Deals on radio. Deals on radio.
Total Country Bob FM.
We're back with the Four Outdoorsmen. Happy Sunday night. Vikings were terrible today. I don't know if they can. I mean, they're almost done.
They're almost done.
If they lose three more, which they could possibly do in a row, does everyone get fired or what?
I think the man throwing
Brandon,
the ball.
You want to chime in on this?
I think I'd be fine with that. Let's just fire them all.
Just can them all.
Start all over.
Start from scratch.
Maybe they can get the.
I don't know how often you can hear, like, we just need one thing. You know, like,
yeah. If only this happened, but it doesn't happen.
Right. But that's what Mark and I were just kind of talking about, like the issues at quarterback, whatever, stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but it's still even more than that, though. There's problems everywhere.
They just can't win close games and stuff. We'll see what happens. But the Twins they lost today, though, right? So they're waiting to see what. See, they are, I believe, their second seed.
Still second right now, if they lost today.
All right, enough sports talk. We're not sports talk radio, right? Sam, are you there, buddy?
I'm here. Let me add really quick. The Twins did lose, but Chicago also did lose, so we took the first we won the division.
We won the division,
And they put us on the third seed in the playoffs, and we're facing the number six seed, the Houston Astros.
Ooh.
But we get home field advantage.
as long as it's not the Yankees.
How are you guys?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Doing
we just thought First of all, I want to thank you for being a co-host of the Four Outdoorsmen. I'm not cut out to be a main host.
It's just, you're doing just fine, Mark.
It's just clear that I can't. I'm not as good at. I'm good at chiming in with stuff occasionally. You know what I mean?
So no, you're great, man.
So thank you, thank you for everything you do. I'm glad that you got to spend the weekend with your family. So this is a traditional thing for you, right?
Yeah, we've so it's the same group. It's my dad, Brian, my brother Pete, my uncle Mike, his son Joe is my cousin, and then Joe's son Nick, who's 16. So it's kind of a father-son trip that we've taken ever since, you know, I was a little kid, whether it was hunting, grouse hunting, or fishing. The past 10 years it's been primarily fishing with a little bit of grouse hunting. But yeah, we do it every year. We go for 4 or 5 days and just relax. You know, we fish. We don't fish hard. Like, you know, it's not a true fishing trip where we're up early in the morning fishing all day, but we definitely fish. But this weekend has been extremely not great fishing. yesterday it rained and it was cold and it was windy. It was not fun. We tried going out on our own and we didn't really put a lot of effort into it because of the weather, knowing that we hired a guide for this morning.
Right.
So going into that, we were fired up to have a guide, and especially after Devil's Lake with me and Drew in, we just pounded them.
Yeah.
I'll just say that we were spoiled.
Sam, it sounds like you should have went duck hunting instead.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny because we're at the resort we're staying. So my cousin has a cabin here, and his, lifetime friend that I went throughout school, like elementary, junior high, high school. His sister owns this resort up on Leech, and so he bought a cabin here, and then we rented one as well. But yeah, there was tons of gunshots behind us. Yeah, we should have been duck hunting because
that was one of my favorite spots to go. I've got a cabin just south of Leech Lake, Hackensack area, and we'd get a group of guys together, 6-8 guys, and we'd go up to Federal Dam and go right out of Federal Dam there, where all the big rice fields are. And we used to do really good up there. That was a duck haven.
Yeah, it must be because there was tons of shots yesterday morning and this morning. And, it was a lot of shots. But yeah, we probably should have brought the camo and some shotguns up to go duck hunting because we'd have probably had more action when we were duck fishing. So.
Well, we all know that happened. So, but it's kind of interesting. It doesn't matter how good the guide is. It's going to happen sometime. What was it like being on a guided trip that you guys didn't catch anything?
Well, first of all, like going into it, I was all the last 2 weeks I was trying to find a guide.
Yep.
And I called everybody and I finally found a guy. It was Leisure Outdoor Adventures, and they were booked, but they have a guide that's guided up here for 25 years, and before that he lived in Alaska for 15 years. And it was interesting because going into it, he was like, yeah, this guy's a great guide, and you know, he's very, very good. So we were pumped. And so like I said, after the last guiding trip I had, I thought we were gonna do it. We get to do really well. You know, he's sending me pictures last night of 28-inch walleyes, 27-inch walleyes. One group caught 45 walleyes in 2 hours. I'm just like, all right.
It's one of those things, you should have been here yesterday.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we get up to he meets us in Walker Bay, and he has a slip there. We get there, and he's got this 28.5-foot, like it looks like one of those like deep-sea fishing boats where it's got the big back.
Yeah.
It's got the hull underneath. Like, it was super nice. I was like, this is going to be awesome. The guy was awesome. Like, I would use him again, like 100%.
Right.
We were out for 4 hours and we caught one fish and we didn't even land it. I caught the walleye and I was just getting up to the boat and it shook right off. It wasn't even a big walleye or anything, but we fished hard, man. It was definitely one of those things where we were fighting, you know, 4-foot waves and swells, and thankfully we were in that big boat.
Right.
That's going to throw that big boat around even, sure.
Yeah, but thankfully we were in that because we had a couple boats around us that were getting just beaten around and they took off. And it's windier than heck right now. But yeah, all morning it was. You know, he put us on fish because we could see him on it. You know, he was barking fish like none other. And we tried everything, we tried different strategies. different angles, different everything. Like, he was truly trying hard. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes you go in hiring a guy and you don't get anything. And, you know, it cost us each, it was like, I don't know what it was, like around $80 a piece. It wasn't horrible. But I told the guys that I was with, I was like, you know, about 7 years ago, I went to New Mexico and I spent about $6,000 on an elk hunt, and I came back with just my tag. So, $80, not that bad, boy.
And also, Sam, that's why they call it fishing, not catching.
Exactly, and that's what I and you know what? The guide, his name was Adam Jackson, and I would use him again 100%.
Right.
He showed up. He had everything. We had all the gear, all the bait. Super friendly, like real talkative guy. He had drinks. He was like, made sure we were comfortable. Very, very, very nice guy. And I would definitely use him again because he busted his butt trying to do it. My cousin got a little with the waves, you know. He was kind of messing with his stomach a little bit. So after 4 hours, he was even willing to let us go a couple more hours, you know, like for free. Because he felt so bad. I was like, oh, we're going to get back. You know, he's not feeling too good. And you could tell when we got back to the dock, he was like, I feel really, really bad. And I was like, it happens, man. Like, we had a great time.
Didn't you say that he said it was the only trip he's ever had that summer without catching anything?
Yeah, he's been booked all summer, both the morning fishing and evening fishing. And this was the first trip all summer. And it's freaking October this week. So that's a lot of fishermen. And we are the only ones who did not catch fish.
Oh.
And he said the next one, the one that he had one other crappy trip, but they caught like 3 or 4 fish or something like that, he said. But usually everyone else got their limit.
Oh,
I mean, I believe it too, because he showed me pictures from yesterday. And like I said, there was like, they caught multiple 28-inch walleyes.
Yeah. It's sad too, because like, he's been a guide for 20 years. He clearly knows what he's doing, where the fish are, what to do. But then, you know, every one of us has insecurity, but it's got to feel a little heartbreaking to be skunked, you know, when people are out with you. So, you know.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, you could tell he was, like, disappointed because it was a quiet ride back.
Right.
And then when we got to this slip, it was a beautiful slip at Walker Bay, and we kind of got out and we gave him cash, and he was like, he almost didn't want to take it. And I still tipped him, you know, because I was always taught you tip, even if you don't. You know, you can tell if a guy's working hard for you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
And, and it's his livelihood. And I tipped him, and he was like, man. And then he even said, he goes, if you guys are going out fishing this evening, call me. Like, let's try and get on some fish. I was like, hey, man. I was like, we'll let you know. I was like, but honestly, like, don't worry about it. I actually told him, too. I was like, I got to get you on the show because he's guided on Leech for 24 years. Before that, he guided in Alaska for both fishing and big game hunting for 15 years.
Wow.
So you could tell this guy knew his stuff. He's really, and the thing that I liked about it is he was super friendly.
Right.
Like,
and how does the guy,
a nice guy.
How does the guy go from Alaska to Leech Lake?
You know, I didn't even ask him that. I think it was just because I think he got married, to be honest with you, and came down. You know how that goes.
Sure.
But yeah, he had a great personality, great spirit about him, and so I definitely use him again. But he's a good talker too. I think he'd be a good guest for the show one day.
Yeah, I'd love to have him on. You know, it's like let's give him some publicity. We have to give him crap for not catching fish, but besides that,
yeah, exactly. And I told my cousin, he said he wasn't feeling good. He was like, oh, I'm really sorry. I was like, hey, it's not like we were hammering fish. Like, it's okay. We can go, and we were all freezing our butts off in the wind, and the, you know, it's like you're being in those waves like that, even though you're in a big boat, it feels like I ran 5 miles. Like, my body is so sore.
Nice. Well, Sam, we're gonna let you go here. We're gonna talk about Cat's Covers a little bit, but thank you for joining us and telling us about your trip, and I hope you have a safe trip back.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for covering for us, Bill.
You bet.
We'll see you next week, buddy.
See you, guys. Bye.
Bye now.
Well, we can't do this show without our wonderful sponsors, so I want to go through those really quick. Devil's Lake Tourism. Duck hunting is hot right now there. They have a long, long history of duck hunting in that direction. It's kind of on a flyway. So go out to Devil's Lake, book something, go out there, check it out, and fall fishing for that matter, because walleye season is open 365 days a year. Power Lodge, right now there's some great deals on Power Lodge. I'm starting to think about putting my boat away, Bill, but I'm not quite ready yet. Yeah, I'm gonna give it a few weeks. I have to at least go out a couple more times. I haven't really worked on getting fall fishing patterns because fall's been so busy for me for the last 10 years. And I'm getting spring down, right? Like I'm finding, I mostly go pan fishing with my boys. So I'm getting patterns down. I'm getting great spots down. I really haven't explored fall fishing, which I hear is some of the best
You know, we did good last week. We were in the weeds about 10, 12 feet of water, and we limited out on the sunnies. Wow. We did great.
Nice.
I sent you the picture of the basket of sunnies.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How about the walleyes right now? What are you doing for them?
We didn't even try.
Yeah.
We were just specifically sunnies and crappies.
Are the weeds knocked down yet?
Yeah, they're getting there. Definitely getting there.
Also, thank you, McKay's Dodge in Waite Park. That's where Sam and his whole family right now have trucks. Clam is starting their sponsorship with us in a few weeks. Clam makes great products. Check out clamoutdoors.com. And Cat's Covers is starting in a few weeks.
BK Outdoors.
BK Outdoors. So BK Outdoors is the name of your company.
Yes.
Cat's Covers is obviously a product you made. So thank you for joining us again this year as a sponsor. We appreciate it. I know you work hard. We're trying as hard as we can to get your name out there. For those of us or those listeners that don't know what you do, what you made, can you describe the product a little bit? And then I love the story on how you decided to make it.
Well, basically what it is, Mark, it's a in the wheelhouses, you've got the black covers that you pull up, and obviously there's a hole there.
Yep.
What I've designed this roughly 10 years ago, it's a clear polycarbonate solid piece that fits in that hole. There's a slot in the cover, and what that does, that lets your line go in the hole. Basically what it is, it's protect all your valuables from falling down the hole, whether it be car keys, cell phones, eyeglasses. Had an interesting story. You know, we were talking about the older fish houses back then.
Yep.
I actually had square holes in my old shack, and I was thinking about that. But when those iPads or the iPods first came out, you'd load all your music on them.
So we're talking 2000s?
2008-ish, I believe it was. You know, I had 4,000 songs probably on it. I had every country song you could think of and then some. Well, we were sitting there fishing and something happened. And I heard a noise. Sure enough, I know exactly where my iPod is. It's in 35 feet of water in Pelican Lake. But then I've had eyeglasses go down and, you know, big thing, you're in the shack. Some are a little more confined than others.
Yeah.
So you reach in your pocket. Oh, I got to run out to my truck. You reach in your pocket to pull your keys out. You fumble. I'm telling you, those holes are magnets. It's going to suck those keys right down. You know, they'll bounce. They could be 3 feet, 4 feet away. They'll bounce right for that hole and drop in.
Oh.
But the funniest thing was, okay, so I lost my iPod that night. I lost my glasses that night. Got my glasses back, though. But
how'd you do that? Did you hook them?
Actually hooked them. They were on a rattle reel line. I set them up on the shelf and woke up the next morning and I just went, where's my glasses? Couldn't find them. So, so we're getting ready to leave and then, okay, let's crank the lines up. Reeling up the line, I'm like, well, this one's kind of heavy. Sure enough, the eyeglasses came out and it hooked right around the side of the lens and pulled them right up.
That's amazing.
It was pretty good. So all in all, so I've got the Cat's Covers. How this came about was I'm a elevator constructor by trade. I service and fix elevators. I was driving down to Mankato. I had a service call down there and driving down 169 and just thinking to myself, why isn't there something to go over the hole to protect your stuff from going down the hole, but yet strong enough so you can stand on it?
Right.
You know, and boom, basically a light bulb went off. I pulled over to the side of the road, got a piece of paper out, you know, the proverbial old bar napkin, drew it out on a piece of paper and just kept adding little things to it. Went home that night and started with wood, started with a piece of wood, and I went, okay, all right, Now, I want to be able to see through this. What can I use? And the ending came out. It ended up being the polycarbonate that I use, and it just worked out great.
So did it take you a while to get, like, hole design and where, you know, how that actually operates? Did it take some fails?
Oh, it did. It definitely did. You know, and actually, this is a good story. I started out with acrylic, and I'm going to mass produce these. So I made, like, I started out with 75 of them, made them all in my garage. I bought routers, and I was making them all, and they looked fantastic. And, yeah, they held my weight. You know, I'd get on them and bounce a little bit. So I took it to another buddy of mine who's probably doubles me in weight.
Right. About my size.
And I asked him, hey, can you step on these things? I want to check them out. So he did. He wasn't on it. He put his foot right through it, and it snapped. And it's like, I can't have that.
Yeah.
I didn't want it to break, you know. And so then I got a hold of a manufacturer. I got Mike Johnson out of Ham Lake.
And, so it's local here, folks.
Local here, made in Minnesota. I actually hand make every single one of them.
Right.
I get the disc made from my manufacturer, then I have to add some tabs to it. But I do make every single one
of
them.
So you put your hands on every single
one. Every single one.
That's a lot of work.
Package every single one, yeah.
When do you do that?
At night. Get home from work and go sit in my other office. I've been doing this now for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
I've got roughly, I think I'm up to about 55 stores now that I'm in. A lot of the big manufacturers carry me, and the name is out there. Everybody, you know, everybody knows Cat's Covers.
Right.
You know, it's pretty much the most affordable cover on the market right now. And, you know, good thing I'm a former veteran, so good veteran-owned company.
Well, support a local company. It's a great idea. It just makes sense. And the most successful products in the outdoors industry just make sense.
Something simple is all
it takes. Simple. It solves a problem. It's easy to use. I mean, it just makes sense.
Right, right. Good thing, you know, I go to a lot of these shows, Mark, and I'll have repeat customers, or I'll have new customers. Hey, I heard buddy's got these. I got to get them. No problem. And I had one guy at this the Lancaster extravaganza I was telling you about. He came and he said, Bill, he goes, I sold my shack. I sold everything with it. I need new ones. And it's like, okay, here you go.
What is the best way to order Cat's Cover or some other product? You have some other products too?
Yeah, I've actually got a nice carrying case that holds the covers.
Yep.
And then when you're using the covers, you take the black lids and you can stack those in the case and put them in the back of your truck. That was one of the best things that we come up with, probably 3 years ago. And I've got that. And then I've got a boot that fits over the electrical plug for your fish house.
Right.
You know, people just take them, they unplug the fish house from the truck and take and wrap it around the tongue of the trailer. Well, I've got a boot that fits over that, and it sits. I've actually got a clip that you mount on the tongue of the trailer and just put that on, and you're good to go. That way, no bugs or water or any corrosion will get in your plug.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. Yeah, tell us where you can get your Cat's Covers.
It is, you can either go to BKOutdoorsLLC.com or Cat's Covers. It's KatzKoverz.com.
That wraps it up for tonight, everybody. Thank you for listening to me and Bill, and
thanks,
see you
Mark.
Next week. Get outside and make some memories.